Every voice, every story holds a key. Together we rise in synergy. Different faces, different pain, different stories, same refrain. Trying to find a place to stand, trying to feel a guiding hand. What you say and what you mean, life somewhere in between. Every action has a cause, every heart behind the walls. If we listen, we can hear it. If we look, we can see it. There's a pattern in the soul. Every piece can make us whole. So the power of synergy, understanding you and me. Every difference, every truth leads us back to something.
Welcome to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. I'm a relationship coach, but I started out as a life coach because when I knew that the mental health industry in the United States was doing a whole lot more damage than good to its, we'll call them victims. Oh, no, that's right. Clients and patients. I knew that I couldn't endorse something that claimed to make the world a better place, but it seemed to cause more problems. So when I was about 25, I saw something on television about life coaching, and I thought, I wonder what that is. That almost sounds constructive and productive. Yeah, let's Google that. Okay. Well, you know what? Life coaching could be anything from a guru that teaches transcendental meditation to a multi-level marketing scam artist selling organic a whole lot of nothing. Okay. So people basically said you need to have a niche. You have to have a specialty. Well, I wanted to teach people how to score in the game of life, teaching people how to succeed in their personal life. I knew that I needed to help them really identify where they were in life and then define where they wanted to go and then give them the equipment like a coach. There you go. Like give them a strategy and equipment to score in the game of life. And I told people, you know what? What works for one person isn't going to work for someone else. And just because you're having a hard time doesn't mean you're mentally ill. Let's go ahead and highlight the strengths and maximize the abilities and talents. And that was fun. Yeah, I came up with a program, a coaching program. And when I saw people succeed and they were feeling good about themselves, they were creating positive energy. And I told my husband, yeah, this is what I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to facilitate people's success, not label them, not pump them full of drugs, and not focus on everything that's wrong with them. I'm going to maximize what's right. But you know what? Yeah, that kind of exploded early in the 2000s. So then I said, all right, you know what? I am going to find a niche, a specialty. What is it that I love to do most with people? I help people with everything from their careers to losing weight with their health, money management, time management, but all of those different things, the element, the common factor was the human factor, relationships. And I said, okay, yeah, I got to do this. This is teaching people how to be with people. And I knew that that was going to be, as a relationship coach, my specialty, my area of expertise. And I taught people how to communicate with each other, to connect with each other, to synchronize, to synergize. And then people said, well, you're trying to save the Titanic with a teaspoon. You got to get on the radio or on television. You got to talk to the whole world, not one person at a time. So I found BBS Radio. I met the owner of the station. And you know what? My father taught me very early on in life something that he's never been wrong about. It's not what you know, it's who you know. But you have to have that connection with people. You have to know how to be with people. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, but in the early 2000s, technology completely took over our society. And I'm not just talking in the United States. We're talking about the entire world. People didn't know how to be with people anymore, even in a socially casual way. And I thought, okay, yeah, this is pretty scary. I got to figure out how to help people get back together. There's a lot of ways we can get back together. I was having a conversation today with a gentleman at the bus stop. That's how I get together with people on public transportation. And I ask them questions. And then we were talking about artificial intelligence and how the computers and the technology, they're trying to substitute human connection with electronics. You can't do that. You have to physically be with people and look at them. And then I told a lady that I was living with, her daughter was joining us for dinner. And I said, what's really hard for me in Seattle was people are now using animals as a substitute for their human connections. And she said, oh no, it's that way here too. I said, no, it's not. Not in Phoenix. Not like it is in Seattle. In Seattle, people literally treat their animals like children. They dress them, they talk to them that way. They push them around in strollers. They have entire sections of the store where they call their animals, their cats and their dogs, their children. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today on the show, I'm going to be talking about some pretty heavy issues. If you want to call in and ask me a question about relationships, anything that you have a question about in your personal relationships, please don't hesitate. The number is 888-627-6008. And I'm going to be talking about a lot of different themes, a lot of different topics, but they're all going to be related to how we can be with each other. One of the questions that I ask people, that I love to ask people on the train, right? The A line, the B line rail in Phoenix. If technology just completely disappeared for a day, would people be relieved or would they be horrified? Would they be scared to death or would they just love it? And it depends on the age. I noticed the generation gap. The younger generation, they're more about, I can't do anything without my electronic device. The world now is contingent on having access to this artificial intelligence. It is literally thinking for us now. Pretty much everyone over 45, maybe 50, I'll say 50. They say, God, it would be wonderful. Then I could actually go places with people and do things. The world we live in, it's so disconnected now. I don't care that they call it social media. It's very antisocial. Yeah, it's a huge chasm. And I think that's another one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about we really are not aware of ourselves, and you have to be aware of yourself in order to be conscientious of others. So, there are principles that I teach as a coach, as a relationship coach. Number one, there's no neutral energy. You are either positive or you are negative. Ask yourself how often throughout the day, just periodically throughout the day, random times, are you in a good mood or are you in a bad mood? Do you know how to get yourself back into a good mood? I loved that movie, Say Anything, when literally brother and sister in the movie, they were brother and sister in real life too. John and Joan Cusack, he said to his sister, hey man, she goes, what? He said, get in a good mood. How hard is it just to decide to be in a good mood and then be in a good mood? And she got this sneer on her face and said, gee, it's easy. And he goes, you used to be twisted and warped and hilarious. You used to be fun. And she just kind of got quiet and she said, I was hilarious once, wasn't I? He said, yeah, and I miss it. She kind of whispered, I still am. She just didn't want anyone to know it. But that was a special bonding moment. Yeah, we have the capacity. Humans have an amazing ability that machines and animals do not have. And one of my favorite jokes that my son taught me, my oldest son told me, I think he was like 12 or 13, it was called the computer's gender. So the Spanish teacher was explaining to the class, it was an adult class, that in Spanish, words are feminine or masculine. So you don't say the, you say el or la. Okay, so one of the men said, is it la computadora or el computador? And she said, well, do you think it's more like a man or a woman? And he said, never mind, I retract the question. There's women in the room. I'm not going to tell you what I think. She said, no, let's turn it into a game. Men over here, women over there, get out a pen and paper, write down all the stuff you're thinking about men and women and technology. She thought it would be fun. The men were laughing hysterically as they were whispering and scribbling. She goes, You're writing really fast. Well, why don't we just stop? How many things do you have? They said, ma'am, we already got four things. This makes this thing a woman. She said, okay, why don't you read them off to me? Number one, only their creator understands their logic. Number two, they speak a language only they interpret. Number three, they store every mistake you ever make in long-term memory. Or number three, that was number three. And number four, you spend half your paycheck on their accessories. And she said, "Okay, ladies, I'm drowning here. Save me." They said, "Nah, this thing's a guy. We'll tell you why. Number one, they won't do anything if they're not turned on. Number two, you can give them information all day. They'll never think for themselves. Number three, they claim to solve all your problems, but in life, they're usually the problem. And number four, you know, you just waited 6 months. You could have had a better one." Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about men and women, technology, how we can come back together. It's time to enjoy being together again. If you want to call in and ask a question, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. Getting together. This is the power of synergy. We'll be right back.
That's the power of synergy. Sixteen ways to see the world. Every mind a flag unfurled. What you think is black and white might be someone else's light. Read between the lines they speak. There's a strength inside the weak.
Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. If you want to call in and ask a question about relationships, you want to ask a relationship coach a question, my number is 888-627-6008. Okay, so today I'm talking about how artificial intelligence, it's not a great thing. I think the human factor is really what makes life amazing. It's the oxygen to relationships. And you know what? I have issue with the fact that people are using their animals as a substitute for their human connections. That's not healthy. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not doing your animals any favor when you are sucking the life out of them because of the hole that you have in your soul because you don't want to do the work to get together with people. Look, I grew up in the 80s. My mother from the baby boomer generation, she was the feminist, equality, women, personal power, and we're going to beat these men at their game and we're going to succeed. We want equal pay. We want equal rights. They were fighting all the time with men, and it was exhausting for me to be around. And what they basically said was, if you were barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen, you're a sellout as a woman. If you really want to prove your value, you support us in our cause to be equal. We want power, and we want money, and we want titles, and the same consideration that men. And I'm like, but you're making it seem like men don't like us. It kind of seems like men like us. Why do we have to fight about it? So this is another thing I teach people as a coach. There's no neutral energy. You're either positive or you're negative, but there's no inertia. You're either moving towards people or you're moving away from them. Ask yourself, how often are you coming to people? How often are you moving away from them? And when people are done interacting with you, are they in a better or a worse mood? Now, look, these are very simple concepts. They're not very easy to apply as principles, but it's very basic. Okay. So again, the number of this station is 888-627-6008. Now, I want you to know, again, growing up in the 80s, we had some good music. We had some good songs, but I was also listening to songs in the 70s. One of my favorites was The Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel. Wow, the powerful lyrics was about hearing things that weren't being said, but not really saying things, and the bright lights overwhelming our thoughts. Fool, said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Yeah, that's what's happening right now. This is 40 years later, and we're technology. We're on social media, but we're becoming antisocial. We don't know how to be together. And we're texting. We're not picking up the phone talking. And when we are picking up the phone, we're talking to computers, not people. There is not a substitute for human connection. Well, how about cats in the cradle? Oh my God, that one scared the hell out of me about the father who son said, "You know, I want to be with you, Dad. Let's get together." He said, "Yeah, we will. We'll get together then. I'll be down in a minute. I'll be right back." And he never came back. And then he was retired, and he went to his son and said, "Hey, let's get together." And his son said, "Yeah, we'll get together in a minute. I'll be back." And he went, "Oh my God, my son just became like me, and we want to be together. We just haven't made the time to be together." That's what the way the world is now. You go into restaurants and it literally says no loitering. You cannot be here for more than 30 minutes. Who out there remembers when we would go to a restaurant to eat for 2 hours? We would communicate, we would talk, we would have a good time. My daughter and I used to go out to a restaurant once a week without her brothers and without my husband. That was our special time together. It was horrible food, but we stayed there for an hour to an hour and a half because we knew that we could be there having our special moments, talking about what mattered, communicating. Well, we've been doing this for several years. One day she turned to me and just said, "If you ever pull your cell phone out while you are with me in public, I will divorce you." And I said, "Honey, my phone is in my purse under my chair on silent. Where is this coming from? You're kind of scaring me right now." She said, "Look at that family over there. There was a father, a mother, a son, and a daughter all at the same table eating their meals with phones in their hand. They were not looking at each other. They were not talking to each other." And I said, "Are you worried that I'm going to do that to you, sweetheart?" And she said, "Don't you ever do that to me." I said, "Baby, I'm scared to death that you're going to do that to me. I swear, I promise, I will never do it to you if you don't do it to me." And we started crying and we held each other. Okay, look, we have a policy now. My daughter and I have a relationship policy that when we are together, no technology allowed. Jeez Louise, how many children under the age of 2 have their own cell phones, and 5 and 6 year olds have their own tablets? How hard is it to talk to the people you love? Well, it's getting harder and harder. They call it social media. It's making us very antisocial. Do you believe that technology, artificial intelligence, is making us better or worse with each other? Okay, you know what? Businesses are taking advantage of that. They're replacing. You go into an establishment and you do not talk to an employee. You have to talk to an electronic device. And if you go to a counter and say, "I'm having problems with the electronic device," they are almost angry at you for interrupting the work that they're doing. Okay, yeah, you could be doing something else like putting the food in a bag, but how about you look at me when I talk to you and you listen to me when I speak to you? Okay, yeah, we've become very isolated. Even when we're around each other, we are not together. How much does that concern you? Now, I teach people the principle of synergy. There's no neutral energy, there's no inertia. You're either moving towards someone or away from them. Wait a minute. What if you're moving with them? You synchronize. You're together with that person. Then you synergize. That's what synergy is. It's when we come together and we have unity of thought and of purpose. And I love to use the example of numbers because people can then conceptualize, and it's kind of abstract. When we're talking about human connection, that's not tangible, that's spiritual. But when I tell people that functioning together, actually acting together, working together in synchronicity, whoa, what's our capacity? What's our potential? Well, okay, so let's use numbers 3, 4, and 7. Let's say, for the activity that we're doing, I can perform at about, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm about a 3. What if my son is a number 4? He's a 4. And my daughter, she's a 7. 3 and 4 and 7. Can you add them together? That's 14. Look, we've come up. No. With 3 times 4 times 7? No, that's 84. That's even better than 14. But you know what we are? We are 3 plus 4 to the 7th power. Or we're 3 plus 7 to the 4th power, or 7 plus 4 to the 3rd power. Well, you know what? Okay. So 7 plus 4 to the 3rd power, that's 1,331. That's a whole lot more than 14. Well, how about 7 plus 3 to the 4th power? 10 to the 4th power, that's 10,000. What about 4 plus 3 to the 7th power? That's 823,543. Okay, let's think about what we can do together. How do you know what you can create with other people if you don't get together? You have got to create unity of thought and purpose. That means uniting with them. The only way you can do that is with communication. The number to the station is 888-627-6008. What's the hardest thing for you to communicate with people in your life about? Seeing as everybody wants to get on their phones or their tablets or their computers, people even have their laptops on the bus. And this is what I like about Phoenix more than Seattle. In Seattle, everybody is looking at their device. In Phoenix, they have their device in their hand, but they're still looking at the people around them. And if you talk to them, they will respond to you. They just probably won't initiate the conversation. Man, in Seattle, I hated it that when I would talk to people, I would say, "Excuse me." And they'd say, "What? What do you want? Why are you interrupting me?" I'd be like, "Okay, never mind. Sorry, my bad. Okay, I'll take a step back." How do we get together with people? We have to find the common ground. We have to unify communication. Well, again, the communication, there's a lot of elements to that, but it's about making sure we understand, we accurately understand. Well, thinking about that joke, there's differences between men and women. How can we get together when we understand each other? Let's look at our personalities. And that's the other thing I tell people about the numbers. How much do you know about the gifts and talents and strengths and abilities of the people that you're with? Should you be the exponent or should you be the base that unifies the group? Okay, so the number again is 888-627-6008. This is the Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. We'll be right back.
Truth inside, if we learn to understand, we can finally take a stand, not against but side by side with the awareness as our guide.
Welcome back to the Power of Synergy. This is BBS Radio, and I'm Gabrielle Cardona. Now, today I'm talking about how animals are not the same as people. Yes, they have better quality interaction than computers. I think we can all agree, you know what? Computers make our lives better in some ways, but it's not personal interaction. Okay, you know what? A lot of people now, because they don't have that good substantive relationships with people that they used to, because they're on their electronic devices all day, they're using animals now for their love and support and connection and bonding. And that's very bad. It's bad for the animal. You're not doing the animal any good, sucking the life out of them. And you know what? They're not filling the hole in your soul that human connection does. We have the capacity to bond. There's appreciation and respect and trust. You know what? It's an art of people coming together in a harmonious way. You appreciate people's abilities. You respect their intentions and you trust their motives. That's when you bond with people and you can synchronize to synergize with them. That means you need to understand them. So I teach people their personality profile, the strengths and talents and gifts and abilities of each different, there are 16 personality profiles. And you say, wait a minute, now, if we have something that needs to get done, and there are three people who are united in purpose, they respect and appreciate and trust each other enough to work together. They've put their machines down and they've said, let's make something happen, manifest in a tangible and concrete, high quality way. I tell people everybody does everything. When I teach them their profile for the Myers-Briggs type indicator, it's not about what you exclusively do. A lot of people, when they take their test, they say, well, I do everything. Congratulations. It's what are you naturally good at? You're so good at it, it's automatic. And It brings you pleasure. Yeah, doing it, you don't even need a reward because it's gratifying. Yeah, and you're impressive in your ability to do it. It's easy and it brings you pleasure and you do it really well. You didn't even need to be trained to do it. Find out what those things are. The dominant function that you have, it's easy for you, it's automatic. You're very, very good at it and it's pleasurable. Well, the second level is your auxiliary function. It's not automatic, but you're good at it and it brings you pleasure. Well, your tertiary function level, well, it's not automatic and it doesn't necessarily bring you a whole lot of pleasure, but you can be good at it. Your inferior function, it's not automatic. You don't do it well. It doesn't bring you pleasure, but you know what? You still got to do it. Find out the people in your life, what they're really good at. And then when you communicate, you can say to people, what's dominant for you? What's auxiliary? What's tertiary? What's inferior? Okay, so these are my order of activities. So let's let you do this activity. I'll take that one. This other person can do this one. And that way, everything is going to get done. We cooperate. Cooperate means work together. Very simple concepts. You just need to talk to people. You need to get to know them. I love in Spanish the word conocer means to know someone, like a person. It's a knowing them, it's understanding them, it's familiarity. Saber is knowing information. You don't saber gente, you don't saber people, and you don't conocer information. You have to spend that time. Are people, in your opinion, a good return on your investment? The number to the station is 888-627-6008. If you have any questions, especially about the personality stuff, don't hesitate to call in because it's actually pretty simple. There's a lot of information on the internet right now. It can be kind of confusing. So if you have any questions about the dominant, auxiliary, tertiary, or inferior levels of functionality, go ahead and give me a call. But when I tell people the art, ART, of AIM, AIM, you appreciate people's abilities. What is true appreciation? It's not only placing value on something. When you appreciate something, it has value, but it's also gratitude. You are grateful for their gifts and talents and strengths and abilities. And then you're giving them the opportunity to create a high quality life experience for you. Do you believe that there's more joy in giving than in receiving? When you let that other person give to you and experience the joy that comes from giving to you by accepting their gift, you have done them a favor. People say, well, I don't need help. And no, you don't have to do that for me. It's okay. I can do it myself. Well, that's because you have an electronic device or some kind of manual machine that's doing it for you. Get rid of all your machines and let the people come back into your life to do things. Then you will appreciate their ability. Wow. That's a whole different kind of energy, social energy. Well, respect their intentions. If you understand the mindset of their personality, then their intentions of what it is that they're trying to do, you can respect even differences. And when you can reconcile your differences, you can say, okay, something that I might have seen before as a potential flaw or an imperfection could actually be a strength or a talent, an opportunity, a resource that I could use in some practical, pragmatic way, usefully productive. That's not only going to benefit us in this situation, it will have an extended effect on the world around us because whatever has been created as a result of us synchronizing and synergizing is going to make the world a better place. Then the trusting people's motives. Now, this is one, I'm sorry again, ladies and gentlemen, with technology, people don't trust people at all. And this is happening to me over at the shelter. When I go into the shelter and I stay with the residents there and I work with the employees there and I say, okay, so I'm doing this right now for my life coaching. Who wants some free life coaching? I'm from BBS Radio. They immediately say, what's your agenda? Why are you doing this? What do you want from us? Get out of here. And I say, I have no agenda. I'm not getting anything out of this, nothing monetary, nothing from fame or notoriety. I'm not getting any credit for this. I'm just helping people. And they say, really? Why? Why would you be that way? I say, because it feels good to be good to people. And you know what? It's contagious. It's another thing I love to tell my clients. When you have positive energy, your positive energy is more powerful than negative energy. Keep conquering evil with good. When you have good, healthy, positive energy, one of three things is going to happen. People are either going to get very upset and walk away and just say, I don't like this. It's very uncomfortable for me. Or, you know what? They could say, what is that? I kind of want to know more about it. Or they could say, yeah, that's awesome. I'm with you. Let's do this. Let's join each other. But you know what? When you have that good positive energy, people are often pleasantly surprised and they're relieved because the good energy and the positive spirit that you have, it is contagious. It is more powerful than the negative. And people really do appreciate when they can trust you. And when they know that you're not going to hurt them, because a lot of the things that we see on technology, on media, television, our computers and electronic devices, the radio, when, you know, it's not even accurate, it's not true, and it really does seek to create more conflict by undermining people's trust and respect. What good is that doing us? None. It really isn't. When we have to know for a fact that our differences are going to be the very things that unite us and strengthen us and fortify us, they motivate us, inspired to be more, well, no, be better, better quality, because quality is more important than quantity. Okay, that's spirituality. When you are satisfied and you are gratified, you don't have to be greedy or suspicious or judgmental. If you have a question or a comment, even a comment about what I'm saying today, go ahead and give me a call, 888-627-6008. And when I come back, I'm going to be talking about very personal things that I've experienced, not only as a wife and mother, but as a relationship coach. Yeah. I'm sure you've had similar ones, and I did get permission from the people in my life to talk about these things because, yeah, they are pretty personal, but they're pretty important. So, again, this is BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. Again, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. If you have a question or comment, now I'm going to be talking about some pretty important things. Look, my husband and I have been married for over 30 years. My children are 26, 28, and 31 years old. And I've had a lot of experience. Most of the people who have hired me as their relationship coach have seen the way that I am with my husband and kids. And they say, wow, you know what? You actually know what you're talking about and you practice what you preach. And apparently, what you are practicing and preaching works. I say, yeah. One of my favorite stories to tell people is when I was, let's see, 25 years married, we were in Everett, Washington, at a Starbucks. There was a lady that we saw her there a lot. When he and I would go there, we would just sometimes need to take a break and we would hang out and spend some time. We didn't necessarily get anything because it's very overpriced and I think it tastes like garbage, but it was our place to kind of just go and recharge with each other. One day a lady asked us, she said, can I ask you guys a question? I said, yeah, I've seen you here a couple of times. What's your name? And she introduced herself and she said, are you two having an affair? And before my husband could say no, I said, yes, how did you know? And she said, because I see you guys here and I just love that good energy you have so much fun and you're touching each other all the time and you're both wearing wedding rings, but they don't match. So I know you're both married, but man, you guys must be doing something dirty. And she said, there's no way you could be having this much fun married to each other. And I stopped and I said, whoa, actually, yeah, we've been married for 25 years. She said, to each other? I said, yes. And she said, how do you, why? Wow. I said, because we take care of each other. I make sure that when we have something to talk about, I actually talk about it. And there are scriptural principles that have been very important to me, like don't go to bed angry. And if you're not going to talk about something, you need to at least schedule a time when you're going to talk about it. And, you know, it's back to that joke. Women, unfortunately, the women that I grew up around said things like, well, if you knew, if you loved me, you would know. If you cared about me, you would know what I need. No, you actually have to tell him. And it's okay to have to tell your husband what you need, because the bottom line is they also lied to me saying men only care about themselves, and once you get married, he stops caring about you and he's going to cheat on you. That's not true. If you tell a man what's going to make you happy, he would be very happy, because you know what? One of my other favorite scriptures is it's better for a man to sleep alone on the corner of a roof than in the warm bed with a woman who likes to fight. Look, we can either make things better or worse. The very simple principle, again, after being with you, is your husband in a better or a worse mood from being around you? Yes, it's very important. And when I told my kids, mommy's got to take care of daddy, I'll be right back. The other thing women told me was, no, your husband can wait. Your kids are more important. Take care of your kids first. I said, no, I'm going to take care of my husband, because if we're together, we synchronize, we synergize, we are exponentially better for our children, because we're both going to be in a good mood and we'll get more things done. Look, opposites attract. My husband is an ESTP, I'm an INTP. Okay, it's good that we're very different, because we're good at different things. But when we talk to each other, when we go to places like this coffee shop, and we have a good time and we both get in a good mood, when we go back home, we are exponentially better for our children. And our kids loved it. And they knew that there were even times when we needed to have sex, and we have sex and we be in a good mood. And they were absolutely fine waiting. Or sometimes when I said, I'm not going to go to work today, I need to stay home and take care of things for you guys. With you guys, so we're not going to have the food that you generally like, or we're not going to buy the toy that the other kid down the street has. They said, that's okay. I want to be with you. We like being together. Time, that's what mattered in a quality state. One of the favorite stories that I like to tell people is my middle son. He was my problem child. He was a rule breaker, but he and I had a very special relationship when he was little. He I don't know where he heard this, that's what she said, probably from school. Okay, he came home and I would say things like, oh man, that was harder than I thought it would be. He would say, oh, that's what she said. My husband hated it, but he knew that I kind of had a sick sense of humor like him, so that was our little inside joke. Well, 6, 7, 8 years old, my husband said, all right, that's it. You're forbidden from saying that ever again. But he and I, we still had this little thing going where if I said something in a conversation in public, and I would be like, oh, God, that was so worth the wait. He wouldn't say that's what she said. He would walk by and go, TWSS. And so it was like our inside joke. I loved it. And then my other son was like, no, see, he's saying it, Dad. He's still saying it. So by the time he was like 13, 14 years old, he would be on the other side of the room. And we had such a great connection that I would be listening to someone else, what someone else was saying, and not necessarily engaged in the conversation. But if it had any kind of sexual innuendo, he would just look at me and raise his eyebrows and grin at me. And he knew that I knew that he knew that I knew that that was what she said. And it was very important to us. See, quality time like that, even when it was stupid little things that we kind of both liked, that it made his dad crazy, that made our bond stronger. But you know what? Little things like that, they're not little at all, because it's about connection. Okay. Or my oldest son, when his brother was in my stomach, and he knew my oldest son was about 2 when I was pregnant with his brother. There were stories that he really liked me to read to him. He would get the books out and he would read to my stomach. And my husband came home from work one day and said, "Does our son know he can't read?" I said, "I don't know, but I'm not going to stop him." When his brother was born, and oh my God, this child was huge. He was almost 9 pounds. And he wasn't responding to the doctor, and he wasn't responding to the nurse or the midwife that I had. His brother came running into the hospital room and said, "Where's my baby? I want my baby. Is my baby born?" His brother lifted up his head and looked around and dropped his head down. And I went, "Oh my God, he just moved. Honey, say that again. Say something to your brother." And he goes, "I'm gonna read a story to you." And his brother lifted up his head again. "Look, I don't care if an electronic device can read to you. When the book is being read like this, it's not the same thing." And when my brother, or when my son's brother was born, and he had that connection even just from the very first moment he came into the world, that's not something you can buy. And artificial intelligence, and an animal is not the same thing. An animal is not going to be what a human is going to be with you, to you, for you. That connection can't be bought, you know? And it's not what you know, it's who you know. Because when you have connections with people and you understand that those relationships are going to be the foundation of some of the most important decisions that you make in your life, you know that your time is worth more than money. And the animals that you have, they may give you great affection and they may accept your affection. That's another thing I realized. It wasn't even because these people wanted to give their love to someone else. It was because they had a genuine hole in their soul from the lack of connection, valuable, substantive connection, high quality, personal relationship with people. You know what? You're not doing yourself any favors, and you're certainly not doing that animal any favors by trying to ask of them more than what they are capable of giving. I loved that I was in a theocratic ministry school in my congregation. It was a free classes that they gave us every week. We learned things like sense stress and modulation, intonation, inflection, volume, and pausing. The way you say something is more important than what you say. Look, we think at about 150 words a minute. Okay, we speak maybe 120. We read maybe 60. We only text or type about 30. Okay, so that's about 70% of what we're thinking never coming out. And we don't have the human element of the voice, right? And our facial expression and our body language. How can we get healthy when we come together again, when we're communicating, when we're connecting? I'm going to take one last break. And you know what? When I come back, I'm going to tell you all the great secrets. Yes, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. How, after 30 plus years, my husband and I are still like boyfriend and girlfriend, how my kids and I have a really great connection with each other. There are tricks of the trade, but you have to change your mindset. So this is BBS Radio. This is the Power of Synergy. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy. This is BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, a relationship coach, and I started out as a life coach, but I knew that, yeah, there are different things in life that people need help with. The most common factor in every situation when people were struggling, whether it was with their work, with their home, with their health, with their money. It was about the people in their life. They loved the people and they really did want to work with the people, but they didn't understand that, yeah, you have to invest your time and energy in people and you have to accept that there are going to be differences. Now, sometimes there are just general principles that are universal, but sometimes you have to be very specific. If you know that someone's, we'll say, personality means that manual labor, hand-eye coordination activities are going to be very difficult for them. You have one of two choices. You can either do that activity for them, right, and let them do the things that they're good at, or you can compensate them, show your appreciation when they have finished. They need maybe time to recover, to re-energize, because they've just spent a whole lot of energy doing something that for you would have been easy. Take the time to get to know people. Ask them sometimes, what would you prefer? Accept what they give you. But most importantly, when you communicate, make sure you listen twice as much as you talk. That means you need to ask questions and make sure that they understand what it is that you're trying to figure out. Because when they know, and they do believe and they do trust that you're trying to be better, not only for them, but with them, they will appreciate and respect and trust that. Now, one of the things that I really like, it doesn't matter what religion you are, again, I'm not going to talk about a religious doctrine, but spiritual principles. One of my favorite scriptures was Galatians 6, 19 and 20, when it's, I think it's 21 and 22, the part of the fruitage of the spirit, the works of the flesh, but the fruitage of the spirit. One of the things it said in the at the end of the scripture, against these things there is no law. Well, as a young girl, I was like, oh, sure there is. I'll bet you I can show you on this list of nine different things. There's going to be a law somewhere, right? People aren't going to agree with the list of nine things was love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, mildness, and self-control. Basically, when you behave yourself, people aren't going to get upset with you. Okay. But love and joy, when you have good, positive energy, people, again, they're going to be attracted to it. Or if they genuinely don't like it, they're just going to leave. But what about peace and long suffering? That's patience. Yeah. When you say to them, I'm not going to judge you and I'm not going to hurt you, I'm going to do things that show that you are important to me and I'm willing to make a sacrifice for you. That's never going to get you in trouble. Kindness and goodness, that means doing things unselfishly with absolutely no ulterior motive. Okay, that might scare a few people at first, but when they see that it's the real deal, they will appreciate it and they almost will want to reflect that back and they will want to manifest and give that to you as a gift because they will be grateful. Self-control, long-suffering. Wow, faith and mildness. When we have self-control and we know that we could very easily say something that would hurt someone else and we choose not to, when are people going to be upset that you made that personal sacrifice for them? Only if you have some ulterior motive. But again, that's about the benevolence that comes from the unselfishness. If you really and truly aren't trying to get something out of them, and it's because you personally care about them, it's going to change them. It's going to make them want to be a better person. Okay, so now if we're talking about things that in life, examples that people really didn't believe me about 5 years ago when I first went to the shelter down in Central Phoenix. Because most of the time, politics has some ulterior motive. And most people who do things for the homeless population have a political agenda. But when I went there and I stayed at the actual shelter in the beds, that we had two different parts. One was the cast. Where you're assigned a bed, and then there's overflow where you're literally lying on the ground with a sheet. You don't get a blanket and you don't get a pillow. The security guards were some of the most horrible people in the world. When I told people I have a radio show and I'm putting all of this stuff out for the world to see, and while I'm telling the world about the way you guys treat the people that live here, I'm going to give them free life coaching. Two different things happened. The people that lived there said, "Wow, you actually genuinely care about us." That created peace within the community. And then the staff who genuinely wanted to make it a better place, the living conditions were completely horrible. They were heinous. But they said, "You're willing to do this. You're not homeless. You have a husband and kids. You have a house." I said, "I know, but I need to find out what's going on here, and I need to make this a better place without being politically aggressive, without being confrontational, without being divisive, without having an ulterior motive, without being selfish, actually giving from an unselfish source for a benevolent reason in a good and healthy way. That's going to make people better, and it's going to improve the situation." I just have to give a shout out now to three of the most important people right now that I know personally in CAS. First of all, Sheila. You know what? This lady, she comes into the dormitories. She gives them games and entertainment. She has activities. And sometimes when she's in the middle of doing something, because the men and women's dormitories are different, she spends time, even when the activities are over, just talking to the ladies that live there. And the peace and the harmony. 5 years ago, the first time I went there, everyone was mean and they were defensive and they were afraid and they were aggressive. Now they're friendly and they're respectful and they're affectionate and they're encouraging because they have someone like Sheila literally coming into the dorms, spending time one-on-one with them on a daily basis. Then there's Jennifer. She's the director of the pretty much the company. So she has an administrative but also an executive authority. She comes in every day and gives the ladies an announcement and says, "This is what's going on." Yeah, we have the amazing opportunity to do a wonderful thing today in this facility. Anybody who wants to join me, you're all invited to join me. Yeah, that's a good way to start the day. And then there's people like Jaslyn. She's a case manager. She's literally the one that the residents go to try and get access to community resources. And when they say, "Yeah, thank you for giving me access to," it wasn't a job. It wasn't necessarily a food commodity. It was a clothing, or it might have been a social service. I know that if I have a question, you will listen to me. That improves the quality of the energy between the people that live there. Even when the security guards are the ones threatening them and intimidating them, they know that they can keep going. Now, I've done a lot of work over the last 25 years as a coach. I have three different books. My website is life-synergy-coaching.com. Yeah, that's got a lot of stuff on it, 4 pages. But the three books that I have right now, one is Till Death Do Us Part. It's about how to be married to people, married to someone that you love. How many times do couples love each other? They just can't live together. I put the secrets to success in marriage in that book. Then there's the Success Workbook. It's my life coaching program that teaches people how to not only manage their life right now, but define where they want to go, but embrace their modus operandi as a personality. Achieve functionality, do it in the way that's the most natural and organic for you. And then I have the embrace your true nature. That explains dominant, auxiliary, tertiary, and inferior levels of function, as well as the four dichotomies, the 16 letters, but it puts it in very simple language. I said it before and I'll say it again, ladies and gentlemen, there's no neutral energy. Energy. There's no inertia, but knowledge comes with power. Positive is more powerful than negative. Find out what's accurate in your life, what you know. You can be with other people, for other people, empower them in a positive way. The number of the station is 888-627-6008. Anytime you want to call in for the show to ask a question, you're more than welcome to. We'll be here the same time next week on BBS Radio. Thank you so much for listening to The Power of Synergy. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. Have an amazing week. We'll see you here next week.
Just people, destiny, that story, every sound, every loss can still be found when we choose to truly see. We become.